You're listening to the GP Supervisors Australia podcast, ACRAM, the future of GP training, presented by Dr. Greg Gladman, Dr. Emily Nicole Moody, and Kyra Moss. We would like to begin by acknowledging the traditional custodians of the land on which this recording was produced and pay our respects to their elders past, present, future, and their families.
So my name's Greg Gladman. I'm National Director of Training with ACRAM, and I've been a GP and GP obstetrician in Wodonga in northeast Victoria, and have been working in medical education for about that many years and a little bit more with a range of organisations. And I've also been a supervisor in our practice for about the last 25 years. So I'll hand over to Emily next.
Thanks, Greg. G'day, everybody. I'm Dr. Emily Moody. I'm a rural generalist practicing out at Laidley Hospital in southeast Queensland. I've got advanced skills in anaesthetics, and I'm a medical educator for Australia College of Rural and Medicine, as well as a supervisor in our hospital at Laidley.
Thanks, Emily. And I'm Kyra Moss. I'm the General Manager for Education Services at ACRAM. Been with ACRAM now for coming up on 3 years, and I head up the fellowship program there and, of course, the work around college-led training. My background is I'm not a clinician. I've come out of working in NGOs, but more recently I worked with the old divisions of general practice, Medicare locals, and then I ran my own consultancy doing workforce support and education for GPs in the New England Northwest. I've then come across to ACRAM and I've been in this role and thoroughly enjoying it. So thank you all for having us. The ACRAM Fellowship Program has been a long-standing program in the independent pathway. It's coming up on 21 years now. And of course, there's been a lot of discussion about what the program will look like under college-led training. The great news is for ACRAM is that we are well prepared. We have a program we've been running. It's a matter of scaling it up and bolstering the supports and mechanisms we have in the program, and we'll be doing exactly that. But I thought a great place to start might actually be to discuss what's happened since the discussion paper was written, which was in July 2021. We tabled the first discussion paper following stakeholder consultation. We have since successfully been through a grant opportunity process, and we are waiting for the contracts to be signed to allow us to move ahead with college-led training. ACRAM has also successfully, alongside that, been through an assurance process with the department and a consultancy firm called NAUS to ensure our readiness for college-led training. And we've also been through our AMC process to be accredited with the AMC, all things all at once. So that we have successfully moved through all of those processes, and we are waiting excitedly to move to the next stage of college-led training once those agreements have been signed off. We have also worked with the department, other entities such as GPSA, GPRA, and RACGP, of course, to provide as much feedback as we can in the process around things such as the Nationally Consistent Payments Framework, which was released by the department, and of course the grant opportunities themselves and the KPIs that will be expected. We've also had input to the Workforce Organisation Network concept. These, of course, have been in tender, and we believe they will be awarded in the coming months. And no, we don't know who they are, but we've certainly had input to the kind of work and relationships they might have with the colleges and how we hope to work with them. We've also commenced a huge piece of work with RTOs, and this is about transition out plans. We didn't want to wait until February for transition to arrive at our doorstep. We felt it was really important that we didn't lose the intelligence and the best parts of the work that have been done by RTOs over the past years. So we've been working side by side with RTOs to develop collaborative plans that have now been approved by the Department of Health and also by RTO CEOs. And these plans are allowing their teams and our teams to start to move through parts of transition to ensure that when it gets to February, we're really just doing the final tying off of pieces, and the registrars and hopefully our supervisors will have experienced is a fairly seamless transition with all of us madly peddling underneath. We've also managed to do an early transition for our GP Synergy registrars. Some of you may be aware that GP Synergy came into an agreement with RACGP for the delivery of training in New South Wales. And ACRAM felt very strongly that we needed to better support our registrars in that space and bring them back into the fold for ACRAM. So that transition has been underway with GP Synergy. It's been a real collaboration piece. We've been working on it since February, and it will be done by the 8th of August, which is now under a month away, and we are well on track. It's been very well received. We have input from registrars, supervisors, GP Synergy, and other stakeholders in that sector, and we feel very confident. It's been a fabulous opportunity, in fact, for us to really test our working plans around what transition can look like, and it was part of the work that helped us set up the Transition Out workshops with our RTOs. We also continue to work with RACGP. And when I say we work with RACGP, we really do. We're in at least two or three meetings a week with them, and we're working on accreditation, placement, and supervisor professional development requirements. And we're working with them in a way to ensure that we can reduce bureaucracy where possible, that we can align our thinking where possible, that under the college-led training model, we don't necessarily ask for more, but we see where we can do better to align what's required in our teaching practices so that people can get on with the business of teaching and supporting registrars. And that's been important work. The other place that we've been doing work in this area is around policies, working alongside RACGP to look at what our policies might look like for registrars across the board to ensure that there are no disadvantages that we might not have taken account of for dual registrars or for practices, in fact, where you're managing registrars from both colleges. So that's been really important. A lot of work since July 2021, but we feel we're in a good position to move forward. So, of course, today is all about you, supervisors and practices. And to be upfront, ACRM has for 20 years looked after registrars very well, and we've run a great education program, and, you know, we've rolled out case management support for registrars. But one of the key things that's shifting and changing under college-led training is that our operational priorities are taking a shift, and so is our philosophical approach. We now need to look after supervisors and practices and training posts. And we recognise this. This is a shift for ACRM. It's meant new strategy. It's meant new staffing. It's meant different kinds of approaches to things. The kinds of priorities that we're working on at the moment are distributions of training places, because of course ACRM will take over placement management. We're looking at consistent medical education and policies, anything that can support quality teaching as well as support our supervisors and practices. We're looking at cultural education support for all the same reasons. It's not something that ACRM has ever done face-to-face. We've certainly had online materials, but this will be an area of work that we're looking to bolster and support and grow our resources in. Of course, we have ACRM accredited training posts and supervisors. That will remain, and I'll let Greg speak to later what will be the same and what will be different. But that is a key priority for us and a part of that shift. We're also looking to prioritise fit-for-purpose regional partnership models. Now, this is important because under the college-led training model, we are building our networked model. We're not going to set up an office in every capital city. This is about looking where there are partnerships available, where it's important to place ourselves, co-locate, work together with other people who are already in the sector to recognise that our registrars and our supervisors are dispersed nationally. You know, when you look at them on a map, they're everywhere. There's no way that we can just pick one spot on the map. So we need a slightly different approach to that. We're also looking to work at the funding that addresses the costs of training in rural and remote communities. And this has been an area in which ACRM has advocated heavily with the department throughout the grant opportunity process to have the needs of rural remote recognised. We recognise it's harder. We recognise it costs more. And we recognise that the kind of costs that you were required to meet when a registrar is going away for training and so forth, it just makes it all much more challenging. So we've been advocating heavily in that space to make sure that there's equity. We've also been working on sustainable low overhead administration costs. And a part of this is managed by our regional approach, but a part of this is also about we're not creating from scratch. We're looking to build on what we already do really well. We're not reinventing wheels that need reinventing, and we're certainly not fixing things that aren't broken. And we've been consulting with the sector about what it is that they think works at ACRM. We're saying, great. And then we're also consulting with them about what doesn't work. And they are the areas that we're looking to improve, and we're looking to get continual feedback from the sector. And supervisors are a huge part of that. And that then frames up our key priorities, particularly over the next 6 to 8 months. And they're certainly the areas that we have been focusing on. So I'm going to throw to Greg so that he can now take you through what will be the same and different.
Thanks, Kyra. So what's the same? So anyone who's currently got ACRM registrars, there is a lot that's staying the same. And part of our charter with transition was that as much as possible, registrars and supervisors won't know that anything's happened. Of course, it's going to be impossible. There's different people to report to, but as much as we can, we want it to be the same for you guys and for registrars. So our curriculum and requirements for training are exactly the same, whether it's been RTO delivered or college delivered. Our supervisor standards are the same and our accreditation standards are the same. Now, you guys might not have been fully aware of those because RTOs have been looking after those things on our behalf, but we'll be looking after them ourselves now. It's a really important part of the apprenticeship model of GP and RG training. We also continue to have a flexible approach to supervision and accreditation. We've got a range of training posts in ACRM, not only general practices, but in hospitals, that Emily's a good example of. We've got AST training and requirements for supervision. We've certainly had off-site remote supervision and have provisions for that, and also have registrars in AMS posts and RFDS posts. So lots will still be the same. What's going to be different? So there will be requirements. You won't be dealing with the RTOs directly. Our accreditation system and reporting system will be directly with ACRM. As Kyra mentioned, though, we're working really closely with RACGP. Early on in transition, we all agreed that we did not want to put double the workload on supervisors and require two lots of accreditation, two lots of supervisors' professional development. We wanted to try and make it as streamlined as possible. So we're currently recognising any supervisor professional development that you guys do with your RTOs this year will continue to be recognised by ACRM and RACGP into next year. We're currently working together on some supervisor CPD modules and what the requirements for supervisor CPD might look like. If you get points for one, they should count for the other college as well. We're looking at supervisor liaison role officers, similar to how RTOs have had them, but we'll be appointing our own, so they'll be different people, and also having rural support officers. Payments, again, will be different, not through the RTO, but under a different process. Those things are obviously just the required differences in dealing with a different organisation.
I think something that I should have thrown into that is certainly we intend to bolster support. While payments may move out to Services Australia under the National Inconsistent Payments Framework, we certainly hope that we can lend support around the back of that, because we do hear from the sector where there might be concerns about the shift to that model. So I'm now going to throw to Emily to take us through our fellowship program model.
Thanks, Kyra. So I think it's really important to recognise that the registrar is at the centre of everything we do. One of the things that I think that the college has always done really well is be able to really tailor the experience to the registrar to support their journey towards fellowship. And we're going to do this by wrapping all of the different frameworks around the registrar. We have three interlocking components. The one I'll talk about first is the ACRM teaching practices and posts. These are like the local teaching practices and posts that will provide clinical practice-based training to registrars, which is what we hope all of you will be able to do. Then there's the national program governance, which is the formal national education program that provides coordination and support for training across the entire national program. And then overlapping with that, we've got the ACRM training networks that support training and the training practices in their areas. And it's been broken down into national, regional, and then ACRM training posts. The national section, the training posts and practices are all going to be supported by a national education and support program, which encompasses training coordination, placement management, remediation, and specialised support services, and the delivery of the National Education Program. The National Education Program is actually the program that we've been delivering to independent pathway registrars for several years, and it's a program that's been entirely mapped to the ACRM curriculum and written by rural generalists. It's delivered in a variety of modalities that all are about making their learning as easy as possible for the registrar in their place and in their context. And the National Education Program will be there to provide governance over the delivery of the education program. So the training and the education teams will support functions of training delivered at the regional and local level, and they'll ensure quality and consistency in delivery of support services across Australia. So then the regional program, this is where supervisors will be supported at a local level through the regional support structures, including accreditation and, again, education delivery. And the supervisors will also be supported with cultural education training and access to PDP recognition. At a local level, in practice, ACRM will support training posts to meet all accreditation requirements for quality training, and ensure that supervisors and practices are supported through education and professional development support. Payment to practices, supervisors and registrars also form a part of this support mechanism. Greg, I've also noticed there's a couple of questions that have come up. Can RACGP fellows be a supervisor for an ACRM registrar?
Great question. Yes, they can. Like any supervisor, we'd expect some understanding about the requirements, but absolutely, particularly if you're rural, have some understanding of ACRM requirements, absolutely.
And if I could add to that, if you are an FRACGP seeking to work with RGs in an ongoing way and you are interested or you're advocating for the ACRM curriculum, we actually have a program called REEF, which is the Rural Experienced Entry to Fellowship Program. It's a very simple process to allow people who have an alternate fellowship and a minimum of 5 years in practice to actually come through that process and to work on getting a FACRM. It's not difficult. It's not expensive at all. In fact, I believe it's free entry to the program. You've only got to pay for the assessment you're required to do. And so there is the opportunity for supervisors who look after our ACRM registrars to go through that process and bring themselves up to speed.
Does this seminar info cross over to the ACRM Rural Generalist Training Scheme also?
Look, pretty much. Our dream, I suppose, is to have one ACRM pathway. So again, all requirements are exactly the same no matter what pathway. So a lot of the things that we're talking about can extend to RGTS. Look, we thought the way I learn best is through cases. So we thought we'd run through a couple of cases. You may find these registrars familiar. So this guy, Bryce, is actually requiring additional teaching time. He seems to lack confidence and he calls you for every patient, even after the first few weeks. We all expect that in the first few weeks, but he continues to call after every patient. So I suppose I'd be feeling he does need some additional time with supervision. So I'd again be doing some direct observation, but also be engaging the medical educator and the training officer to see if there are additional supports that need be put in place. And also he may find out about how he's engaging in the education program. So I'd want to document all that and make sure that the college knows what we're trying to do.
In Bryce's case, what formative assessments under the ACRM model would you recommend for this particular registrar?
I think the mini-CEX would be helpful and the MSF as well, the multi-source feedback, once he's been at the practice for a little while. The multi-source feedback is a very vulnerable exercise for a registrar to go through because it really opens them up to feedback from a really wide source, including the administrative staff, the nursing staff and their doctor colleagues. It's really important to gauge his level of insight into whether or not there is a problem. He might not have identified that he appears to lack confidence or that calling you for every patient is outside the normal practice for somebody at his level of training. So taking that time to work through his own level of insight into his performance is really important. Checking into Bryce's own well-being, just making sure that there isn't a personal problem that's undermining his performance. He has no surgical skills, and that's important in general practice. Basic surgical skills are an important part of the ACRM curriculum as well. So you could talk about a way to overcome that gap in his training. And there are multiple ways to do that. I think that's one of the benefits of the ACRM training program is its flexibility and ability to help registrars obtain the learning they need without having to leave their context. The next question, if there are support needs in one term, are these handed over to the supervisor of the following term? If there are support needs or issues, then the supervisor would have reported that back to the college, and that will be looked at by the registrar's medical educator and training team. So they will be aware of those issues. It's not always the case that those concerns are reported to the new supervisor. It would depend very much on what those concerns were, which I know is a very grey answer, and but it's really hard to talk in absolutes there because it really would depend on what the concerns are.
If I could just jump in, I think this really highlights something that's important and that we wanted to showcase, the reason we've introduced case studies, and that is that the ACRM supervision model and the standards have been built flexibly, but they've also been built with an inherent understanding and respect that supervisors know how to supervise, particularly those who are already accredited and who have experience. They are actually best placed to make judgments about what it is that that registrar will need in their practice in context. So we have a looser framework in terms of what's expected in those workplace-based assessment model, but the idea is that we work alongside supervisors. We'll provide tools and resources, but we do, alongside the medical education and supervisor relationship, look to supervisors to guide us on what they're seeing with those registrars in practice and to lend learning to those plans rather than us dictating a whole bunch of hoops that supervisors are required to jump through with every registrar. We've left it flexible so that that can be shifted around as needed. I'm just looking at some of the other questions about extra teaching time by external educators while you feel it would be more beneficial from direct supervisors. We agree. We think the supervision teaching is really important. In the ACRM model, medical educators do things such as mini CXs or ECTVs in some areas, but we do recognise that supervising teaching time is important, and we have built that into our flexible funding model. Flexible funding is yet to be approved. Nonetheless, we have advocated that up and above the nationally consistent payments for regular teaching time. The other thing we've advocated to have built in are additional resources around supporting supervisors around things like pastoral care or where registrars are in distress and not coping, and supervisors are required to provide considerably more support. So we have factored it in. At the moment, we're waiting on an outcome from the department on that additional funding up and above the NCP. I've seen also there a question for about the RTOs who you go to for support. In college-led, you would approach the roles within our regional structures. We will have, as we said, supervisor liaison officers in our regions. We will also have rural support officers that will form the arm to practices. They will be focused wholly and solely on practices, not our registrars. They'll be there as a mechanism of support so that you have a single go-to in your region rather than needing to phone the college and speak to somebody different each time. In terms of how many regions in our program, at the moment we are looking at state-level regions and then in those sub-regions. Now, for ACRM, our funding underneath the grant opportunity has been tied to registrar number, as it is for RSCGP. Being a smaller college, this is even more important in our numbers. So where the staff are placed and the number of regions will be somewhat dictated by the number of registrars in those regions. So if we have a region with zero registrars and zero requirements, we're less likely to staff that area than we are in another area where we know we have registrars, and we will be mapping our resources to where they sit.
Question about extra teaching. When registrars require extra teaching time, it's sometimes somebody external brought in. My suggestion is be to notify the college. Some supervisors will have the skills in dealing with that extra difficult time and time as well. Others won't. So certainly contact the college and we can work out amongst us whether you guys have got the skills and the time or you need some extra assistance with Bryce.
Another question about learning resources. That's a really good question. I'm really pleased to confirm all of our registrars, including Independent Pathway, RGTS and AGPT registrars, will have access to the AMH and the ETG. They will be embedded in the LMS and we'll be covering those resources for registrars under college-led training. First of all, for our New South Wales registrars transitioning to us this month, but then after that for all registrars. Will everything be agreed before ACRM takes over included funding? We certainly hope so. That's more of a department question than a question for me, but ACRM will not be aiming to take up a full college-led training until we are aware that we have sign-off from the department as well as commensurate funding to allow us to do it properly. So the answer to that, I guess, is yes. And will ACRM and RSEGP share ECT visits, given they are run by RTOs? ECT visits will need to be delivered by each of the colleges based on the needs of their registrars. What we will aim to do is align with RSCGP to ensure that practices aren't flooded. Certainly around things like accreditation, we're looking to align those visits jointly to ensure that it's a singular visit and we're not biting into important practice time. In terms of when a training contract will be published, we have a current training contract for RGTS already, but we do have a college-led training contract. It's in the final throes of being finalised. We expect to publish that in the next month. We need it in place for New South Wales, but we will be coming out to the market with that. The good news about that is that what we have done is a in-depth analysis of the agreements that have been placed across RTOs, across Australia, and we've been working to develop a contract agreement for practice placements that we believe will be robust enough to get the job done, but flexible enough to reflect what it is that ACRM is seeking to achieve. So you can expect that to be on the horizon.
Kyra, can I ask a question about supervisor professional development? Because there is this magic pudding that we have with the department, and the magic pudding is a undefined sum of money that comes outside of AGPT that was part of, but that will include supervisor PD. How does ACRM propose that supervisor PD will look?
We are proposing that there will be minimum requirements for supervisor PD. We also recognise that alongside supervisor PD, as you'd all be aware, there have been shifts around CPD and PDP management underneath CPD homes. We will be recognising PD done by supervisors from other colleges also. They're not going to just have to jump through hoops for us. So if you've got a RACMA, if you are doing training through an alternate college, we will recognise that that PD counts towards what can be required for supervisors. The only caveat on that is that where there is a brand new supervisor who is being accredited for the first time, we will have an orientation program that has some baseline requirements to ensure that that supervisor is supported and comfortable and understands the resources available to them and what's required underneath the supervision program. Up and above that, we are currently working with RSCGP to settle on what we would call the minimum hours for a supervisor to meet each year, but it's not extensive. And as Greg said earlier, we are not looking to make this more onerous for supervisors. Particularly in our rural and remote communities, we recognise that it's not always as simple as just working in one practice. Very often people are working across hospital systems, aged care facilities, a whole range of areas, and that people aren't sitting around with extra time on their hands and that these things need to be aligned. So for us, where the funding comes from, yes, still under negotiation around flexible funds, but we're doing our best within the college to build good quality resource and to work with RSCGP so that whichever way it's funded, this PD that's available and accessible will be most useful to our supervisors to get the job done.
Kyra, I also wish to acknowledge from a GPSA point of view that RSCGP and ACRM have worked very well together with stakeholders, which is GPSA and GPRA in the department, of how transition will occur. And I think it's really important that we actually reassure everyone that we're all in this together. And I'm actually really confident now. I know that the GOG and the funding is probably still 1 or 2 weeks away, but everyone is moving towards transition. I think for supervisors, it's going to look, you know, there's always going to be some challenges, but we're working towards the best outcome that we can.
Absolutely. Greg, did you want to run through this and then we might jump to the by-college stuff?
Look, I suppose, again, no new forms. Obviously, we want supervisor reports. It's a really important part of our progression monitoring for registrars. Registrars doing their AST, we, again, require a plan and a progress report. Mini CEXs, as we've mentioned a number of times. Logbooks are the other thing. So all our registrars are required to complete a logbook during their core generalist training. A lot of them are encouraged to do things or can do them before they start training. Some will be required in hospitals, but have a look at their logbook and see what you can help them with in the general practice setting or whatever setting you happen to be in. That's pretty much it, I think.
Yeah, and all of these are available, of course, within our handbooks and things on the website. We're just highlighting it there because, as we said at the beginning of the presentation, our system for reporting and our framework for supervision hasn't changed, and this is what it's always been. If an RACGP supervisor wants to become an ACRM supervisor, they can. There's a big form, the REEF application form, to get that done. A fellowship with ACRM is a full fellowship, and it is important that we have that paperwork done, of course, to assess. It's not just general practice. An RG fellowship is about recognising another range of skills. It is a different fellowship, of course. It is a little bit of a big form. Nonetheless, it's not the same as undertaking an entire fellowship. REEF is certainly a much easier way to do that. We're happy for RACGP supervisors to supervise ACRM trainees in the same way that we're happy for an AST, for a RACRM supervisor, to do the same. All of our supervision accreditations we do on a case-by-case basis. We look at the skills of the registrar, we look at the training environment, we look at the skills and experience of the supervisor, and we approve on that basis. It's not about the fellowship as the base rule. We're, of course, very keen to have FACRMs deliver supervision because we feel that FACRMs have an understanding of both the assessments and the framework and the curriculum, but it's not exclusive. It is possible for RACGP supervisors to do that. There's a question here, are we expecting to pay supervisors for undertaking minimum hours of supervisor PD? That one falls into the flexible funding bucket question that Nicole raised a moment ago. And again, as I said, that flexible funding is yet to be determined by the department. So we look forward to being able to come out with some clearer information around that. There's another question there that says, will there be accommodation-related subsidies for registrars? Yes. So much like RTOs have had provisions for registrars to manage relocation, to attract registrars to rural remote areas, they will continue. There will also be additional payments under flexible payments to encourage rural remote uptake. As you're probably aware, we only train MMM Tutor 7, so we only do rural remote, but we have built into our mechanisms additional payments and supports because we want to see registrars take up those placements. The other thing that I should note here is that unlike the RTO systems where registrars in some states have needed to pick up and move at the end of a six-month term, ACRM will be seeking to actually support longer placements for registrars in rural remote areas where it suits the needs of their training, but where it also increases the likelihood that a registrar will stay on in that community instead of moving them after 6 months. So that's an important difference. And I think that's important. So I'm now happy to sort of jump in and speak to some of the placement pieces, which, to be honest, is the more complex end of our work with the two colleges. So in terms of the bi-college partnership piece, we've been working to align our accreditation terms and requirements, 3 years and what's actually required. We're also looking to make sure that when that accreditation comes up, that ACRM and RACGP have governance mechanisms in place to ensure that we come out to a practice once and at one time to reduce the bureaucracy and also the work involved. We're looking to align our terminology. We've been doing a lot of coming to agreement on what do you call a principal supervisor? Are they a lead? Are they a principal? What are we talking about? What are the definitions? Are we talking about and measuring the same things? So there's been a lot of work there. We've aligned minimum requirements for supervisors as a first-time supervisor. We're also aligning our annual CPD requirements and a committed undertaking from both colleges that we will recognise each other's CPD. We're not going to make supervisors jump through double the hoops. We're looking at the creation of joint training resources. So there are modules under creation and fact sheets, all of the different pieces of work that need to go around accreditation and supervision. There will also be separate resources, and that's important. Joint training resources to make it simple and separate resources to ensure that supervisors have the detail and the nuances that they need from the different fellowship pathways. We have both committed to continuing the SLO networks, and I believe both colleges will be offering those roles. ACRM currently has our first supervisor liaison officer role in the market for New South Wales, and we'll be soon rolling out those advertisements in each state, and we encourage supervisors to come and get involved. We'll also be recognising payments and payment mechanisms for all supervisors, and the colleges have committed to this, and it's been a key piece of work with the department and Services Australia to ensure that even though it's a large change, we can do our best to meet that and support it on both ends. So they've been really important pieces of Bi-College partnership work, which aren't all completely landed, but we've come a very long way. What's been really important is that both colleges have really adhered to the transition charter that Greg spoke to earlier. And at the heart of that charter is a principle that speaks about minimising disruption to the sector and ensuring that we put the training post, the registrars and the supervisors at the heart of all of our decision making. We now have regional teams as well. As of next week, we will have our full New South Wales team up in New South Wales, which includes a full suite of roles, training officers, a network manager, SLOs, an RLO, rural support officers and accreditation support. So that's very, very exciting, and it will be the model for how we will regionalise going forward. In terms of how we manage placements, placements is really the pointy end. What I can tell you is that we are working closely with RACGP to do this. I can tell you that we are learning from RTOs in terms of how placements have been done. I can also tell you that we're modelling placements in a way, at least for ACRM, that the timings will be the same as RACGP, and we have governance mechanisms. So when placements occur, they will happen for RACGP and for ACRM in the same timeframes. So practices can expect to be able to see every registrar that you get a choice of at the same time, irrespective of the college, and we're working on the mechanisms to make that happen. The key principle at the heart of the placement work we're doing with RACGP is to understand that practices deserve a choice, just like registrars. We don't want to take that choice away from practices. And the mechanisms and systems that we're building is to allow practices to interview registrars and put forward their preferences, and then for the two colleges to actually come to an agreement in the background. The colleges, underneath the transition principles, are committed to not setting one college off against the other. At the end of the day, these are all doctors, they're all registrars, and they're all out needing to train in these different communities. So we'll be working in the backgrounds, not to say it's going to be easy, but certainly we're building systems alongside each other, and things as simple as, you know, a practice capacity form will be the same for both colleges. We're aligning all of these things together to make sure that language is simplified, processes are simplified, and we will be doing data sharing in the background. So an example of this is if you were to apply for accreditation the first time, you could make your choice about where you wanted to do that, and then the two colleges will share it. And if you tick that you want accreditation from both colleges, we will then assess that information in the background and come back to you. You will not need to fill up two forms. In fact, the accreditation application forms are now a single form between the two colleges, as our site accreditation forms. So we're working very hard to make sure that we can streamline that work.
Thank you, Kyra and Emily and Greg. I'm a ground roots supervisor who's done both RACGP and ACRM supervision. And one of the things I'm really grateful for is, and I don't think it's been very visible, but how both colleges have worked together. Thank you for being so open and transparent. I'm really hopeful for where things go with transition. It's, you know, there are going to be a few potholes along the way, and it's not going to be, you know, completely smooth, but I'm happy that we're in safe hands. So thank you for being so open about where ACRM is and where your process is. So cheers.
Thanks for listening. We'd love your feedback. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts, please give us a rating and or a review. And if you haven't already, please subscribe and share this podcast with your colleagues. If you'd like to ask a question or suggest a topic, you can reach out to us via our social channels. Simply search GP Supervisors Australia on Facebook, LinkedIn, Instagram or Twitter. GP Supervisors Australia is supported by funding from the Australian Government under the Australian General Practice Training Program.